For July the 21st, 2017, we talk about the Sega and Atari retro console announcements, Wasted, and we ask you what mundane game tasks you can't help but indulge in. Welcome to Level 204. My name is Cole Ross.
My name is David Mysmith.
And I'm Jala Prendez.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. We are doing it three style, I think, in the rarest combination.
I know it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I would have to go back and actually check. I have this data, going back a certain way, definitely as far back as your involvement.
Unless you count our three fans, which rebelled against us and, scripted their own episode.
Oh, yeah. They came at the throne. Yeah.
Well, you didn't even mention how Graham or Double Cakes did his own 10-minute level on the week of July the 7th, because we didn't do one.
And my favorite part is that was the 4th of July, the best day for rebelling against authority.
Oh, of course. do we have that audio file?
I do, yes, okay. And I can send it to you, and you need to share it with people. He said it was okay. You should do it.
Yeah, I'll append it to the end of this episode. How's that sound?
Awesome. That sounds great.
Yeah. This might be a shorter episode anyway, again, because we're three-style, and I don't know. It's that weird summertime kind of feel. I haven't played shit, so I'm going to be relying on you guys. But I'm so close. I'm so close to being out of the woods. Like, I've been doing what essentially amounts to 2x WAF workload for the past 7 months. And as soon as I beat Dark Souls 1, I only have, like, one show of homework play to do. So I'm gonna,
just so you know.
Yeah.
2x WAF is going on my title list.
That's fine. It's in the confines of the show, so we're good. No. So, like, but yeah, I'm going to be very excited to actually have stuff to play. Oh my gosh, I've got lists of games I want to play. And also, I should probably clean my house at some point.
I
was there. I was cleaning your house a little bit.
you were cleaning up after me was the thing. Like, I would put down a water bottle.
And you would just, like, leave this empty water bottle, and it would just drive me nuts. And I'd just be like, pick it up and put it in the right place. Oh, put it where, man, it needs to be. Put dishes in the sink. Put them in the dishwasher.
Yeah. So, I assured you there is the tidying up that happens.
I'm not completely OCD or anything, but, like, it's just nice for a guest who is imposing on someone to, take initiative and do something, useful. Damn it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is house guests need to, like, clean when they come to my house.
I know, definitely. Yeah, that just makes sense. At the very least, campground rules, right? Leave only footsteps. Take only pictures, right?
Yeah.
For sure. Jala, do you want to tell everybody about your exciting thing that happened?
First, can I say, I did have surgery. Yeah, I'm still on convalescence. Not that you can tell from my voice, but there's lots of things you never hear in my voice when I'm going through stuff. But I wanted to first, before I talk about the exciting news, tell why I could even have that exciting news. Guys, thank you, all of the listeners who have been so kind as to pitch in to the Keep Me From Dying in a Hole Somewhere fund. That's been really great, because I've had a lot of things going on, not just the medical. I have spinal stenosis, and I've had things that I've had to treat for that. I've had cervical cancer, and other things going on. But one of the things that has happened is that literally in the last 2 weeks, I've had two different vehicles die on me, and I need a car in the place that I live. There is not a reliable public transportation system, and my work is across town, like 40 to 50 miles away.
It's not an option. It's a need.
It is a need. And the only way that I was able to today, literally right before recording, go get a replacement vehicle of any sort was because you guys helped so far, you know, like with the GoFundMe and everything, to beat off medical bills away from me, keep them away from me long enough for me to do that. And I realized after I said beat off that it also has, you know, sexy day connotations.
Do you want to retake that, or are you fine leaving it as it is?
Oh, I leave that shit in there. That is hilarious. That is the thing that I said. Let the people know. So the people have the right to know,
damn it.
Right to know that I said the thing. So anyway, besides which, I like adding some levity in there when I'm talking about things so I don't cry. So it's fine.
Right.
Yes. So thank you all. I've been very weepy because I literally was talking to my mom. I was telling this to the guys in the green room. I was talking to my mom about everything. And when the second car broke down and my parents were just like losing their minds because they're just like, we are trying our best to keep it together and everything is breaking and things are just rough all over, you know, and I was just like, but remember, you know, the GoFundMe, because of that, I have a chance. Like, it's only because of duck feed that I'm able to like breathe right now, you know? Yeah. So, thank you all. My exciting news is I have a replacement vehicle and I have not had a vehicle. I don't know if people know that. I've not had a vehicle since November. I have been like sharing, which basically stuck at home most of the time or have been stuck at home most of the time, except for when I absolutely have to go somewhere.
Right.
So for someone like me who gets bored with being in the same place and doing the same thing all the time, like that's insane. It's been very hard. Because I can't just go do things at my own, you know, on my own schedule or anything.
Yeah.
So that era is at an end. Hopefully the cancer will be at an end. Just so people know, I will not know for sure if the cancer is completely gone until I have completely healed. It will be 4 months before I will get a check-in to see if further procedures are needed or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I still have medical bills coming in from like residual stuff because the labs are really slow about sending bills for like biopsies and whatever. And then the last surgery I've got, you know, other stuff I still have to pay on with all of that. So, it's not that the stream is not going towards medical stuff. It's all still medical.
Right.
The GoFundMe goal is just, that's just the cost of like the very last thing that I had done. That's not all of the other stuff around that, you know, like I didn't want to, I already felt weird making a GoFundMe page. So I didn't want to, you know, be like, and also give me $5,000 or something. Like I didn't want to do that. So, so thank you. Thank you all. And I'm done rambling about that. Now we can talk about something else.
Yeah. because Jala probably wouldn't say it, I will direct people to gofundme.com/Jalachan. And you're pretty well toward your goal, which is pretty great. In just over a week, let me do some quick math here. You're about 90% of the way there. So, that's pretty great. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, yeah, that's the only reason why, like, after the first car died and I sold that as junk, and I got the pittance of money from that, that's the only reason why I didn't immediately throw that money and anything I had in savings at my medical bills is because of the GoFundMe. And right. That's why I had enough money for a down payment to get a replacement car.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And we are doing that streaming event. For Jalaid that is running from July the 28th through to the 30th. And we're going to have a schedule page up there soon. There's some cool stuff on there.
Yeah, I'm really excited to watch it. And everybody thinks I'm crazy because I really want to, as much as I am possible, be there for as much as I can. And they're like, you need to sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but I kind of want to just like take a nap and then wake up so I can see the next person's stream. I mean, I know there's going to be like archives of it, but I mean, I want to support everybody who's trying to support me.
Right.
I want to get better and I want to pay it forward and help more people, you know? So
awesome.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. Again, that's July the 28th through the 30th. And thanks so much to everybody who has given or everybody who's going to watch.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know how to follow that up because that was very heartfelt.
Well, I did a good job of not crying.
Yeah.
That's good.
You've held it together remarkably well. Much better than I would. David, how are you? How are things going on your end?
They're going pretty good. Had a little bit of a interesting weekend. This weekend was supposed to be have a martial arts instructor coming in from England to teach. However, when he got to the flew into Michigan, found out that someone had tipped off customs that basically, since we were technically paying him, he was technically working in the U.S. without a proper visa.
Oh, geez.
And so he was sent directly back to England. So there's some suspicion that it could be, might have been someone from a rival school that found out about it because, you know, the event was on Facebook.
Okay.
And like the customs office, like, had a printout of one of the flyers and stuff like that.
Huh.
So, but you know, we really don't know for sure. But yeah, I mean, so that was kind of unfortunate. Both, you know, just it's kind of a bummer, and it, you know, sucks for him because, you know,
yeah.
Well, both because obviously, you know, wanted to be here to teach, and also because I can't imagine doing a however many hour flight and then only to turn around and do whatever flight is fun.
Yeah. What a dick move.
So luckily we still did kind of more informally this seminar. So my instructor here taught, and we still had some, you know, people in town that normally don't train with us. So it was still a very good time, but just kind of a interesting adventure.
Yeah, martial arts doesn't seem like something you can Skype in a lesson for.
No, not too much.
No. Huh. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, we're looking at trying to get, apparently the U.S. has visas for like cultural exchange. And so we're going to see if maybe that can apply the next time.
Right.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But oh well. Other than that, though, I think I said last time I got a new job, so that's still fun. So I'm still enjoying and getting used to, like, you know, having money and being a gainful, you know, member of society. So that's good.
See, you went the exact opposite direction on that as I would have, because I would have said, oh, getting used to being on somebody else's time. Like, that would be a very large roadblock for me. But no, that's great.
It's actually a really interesting thing because it's kind of like before it, you know, since I always could be applying to more jobs, therefore I was effectively always working.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You always felt on the hook.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So.
Huh.
But
cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Cool. Well, I think that we should get on with the show. We should
get on with it.
Yeah, we've got the usual kind of show for you, even though we are, again, rocking a three style. We've got the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief,
where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Jala, tell me how everything old is new again.
Yeah, so remember how we were talking before about the little mini SNES thingy that was on the way? And remember how we were all like, yeah, so what about if Sega did a little mini box?
Yeah.
Well, that shit's real, yo. Like, it's on the way. That and Atari, as a matter of fact. Remember how I was talking about how Atari was talking about making a new console? Well, I don't know if this is what they were talking about, but Sega and Atari are making their own flashback micro consoles, which will be available for pre-order this fall. But the exact time is TBA, has not been announced yet. Yeah, so,
Yeah, trying to ride up on that heat, trying to borrow some of that heat from Nintendo.
Hell yeah. So the Sega Genesis Flashback is going to have 85 games preloaded, including
Sonic
and, Like a shitload. Yeah. And that was part of my complaint was I don't want to have just like a handpicked amount. I want to have like a lot of games. Well, guess what, guys? I got my wish. So it's got like Sonic and Knuckles, Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, Phantasy Star 2. And then the article even mentioned Comic Zone again, like that thing nobody knew what it was except for you. Yeah. And so it'll have a 720p HDMI output, two wireless Genesis controllers, and two ports for wired gamepads, and a save, pause, and rewind feature for every game.
Oh, so a little bit like the Disney Classic Collection has a rewind button on it.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's kind of cool. Like that's nice.
And the Atari Flashback 8 Gold will have 120 games on it, so even more, because Atari games take no memory.
Right.
And, Space Invaders, Capcom Centipede, etc. And same stats, like same HDMI output, two controller wireless controllers with two ports, controller ports, same save, pause, rewind deal. So yeah. That is a thing, and that will be going on pre-order this fall sometime. So... that's awesome.
Yeah, and the second one is getting two wireless controllers, like you said. That's a pretty big deal.
Yes. It is awesome. Yeah. I'm excited about this thing.
So with the Atari, are there any noteworthy Atari games in terms of like, you know, obviously most Atari games are kind of novelties by now. But I, you know, are there any that would be ones that like, you know, someone should go back and play because they're a classic, you know, that kind of type of thing?
I'm looking at this. They've got Adventure. I had no idea there's an Adventure 2. They have that. River Raid is still a very good game.
That is a fun game.
Yeah. Hero, H-E-R-O, is actually pretty good. Looking at this here, Yar's Revenge, I think is pretty noteworthy. And then also, oh my gosh, what do they have? Haunted House and the Return to the Haunted House, which I had no idea was a thing.
Oh, by the way, the Sega console, I got so mad because, well, first off, the Sega console has all like Golden Axe 1, 2, and 3, which is awesome.
But they don't
They don't have the original Shining Force. They have Shining Force 2 and Shining in the Darkness, but they don't have Shining Force 1. They just skipped it over. I'm so pissed about that. They also have Vector Man. I remember Vector Man. That's
I liked Vector Man a lot when I was young. They've got Rhystar. That's pretty good. I have to take some exception at this being listed as having 85 games on it, though, because I'm going to read you a couple of games that I have no idea what they are. Let's see here. Plumbing Contest. no idea about that. Let's see here. Curling 2010. No idea. And then kind of most noteworthy, one that's sticking out here, and I'm definitely downloading a ROM and playing this, but Mr. Balls.
What I want is ball breaking. But by the way, guys, the Sega console has Chalk and the Forever Man. That's a cool game.
Oh, yeah. No, that actually is a pretty good one.
So they were still making Genesis games in 2010.
I maybe that is like some kind of futuristic curling where they're on some kind of like laser field, like it's Tron curling.
There's also a Maze 2010. I don't even know. And Memory. I don't know what that is. So I have no idea. But wall breaking.
What is Chalk-in? Because this guy looks like a badass. He looks like someone traveled into the future and played Bloodborne.
So Chalk-in, I know that's part of the reason why I figured you dudes would like it. So Chalk-in is actually an indie comic from back in the day that was turned into like this game, and it's basically known for being pretty hard. And they did do didn't they remake it? I forget what console for, but they did remake it at some point in time. And make like a new Chalk-in game for a newer gen console, and it was like 3D. I don't remember which console it was for. But anyway, so yeah, that it's based off of a comic, an indie comic.
Yeah, Chalk-in has been suggested as like an early Souls-like kind of thing to us in the past.
Cool.
Maybe a possibility for WoW 2.0.
Yeah, see, at one point I had actually just submitted it on like Abject Suffering just because I was like, Not that it was a bad game, but just because I wanted you to talk about it somewhere. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's that's totally fair play. Yeah, you know what? The reason why I'm a little bit confused about this, a lot of these games on here are actually Game Gear games, specifically Sonic Chaos, Sonic Triple Trouble, Tails Adventure. Yeah, so that's probably where some of my confusion is coming from.
Well, that is pretty confusing, I will admit. Yeah. That's sad. You call it the Genesis flashback, but then it's got Game Gear games on it. What?
Yeah, and some of this stuff probably additionally is from Master System. So they have Phantasy Star 2 on here.
Wow, the original comic for Chalkin, like, doesn't even have a Wikipedia article.
Huh.
Like, the game does, but the comic does not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can direct you to the artist's site. I just have to go pull it up because he still sells the comics, indie comics. You cannot get them digitally. You have to buy them from the dude,
right. But
he still sells them. So you can still get physical copies of Chalkin' the Forever Man if you would like.
Yeah.
So
looking back over to the Atari one real quick here, they've got the unpublished Sword Quest games on here as well. Which I think exist in ROMs, but don't, but only very exist in very rare physical copy. Huh. Yeah, this is interesting. I have to imagine these are both being manufactured by the same company. That's why they're announcing them at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think the that is what the article says too, is that it's like the company that is behind these two things. So
yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, like I did drop a link to where you can get the Chalkin comics, but it looks like a really outdated site, but I actually emailed him like last year and he's still totally selling stuff on that site. It's just he never updated his site past like 20 or 2000 maybe, you know, like it's a old site, like old looking site.
Be careful when you go there because unbidden it tries to download a .mov file.
So
at least it did online.
I don't even know, like it's pretty whatever, but anyway, like yes, you could still buy the comic, so
I'll be curious about these. The Sega one sounds pretty cool. I like that they're using the older style of Mega Drive kind of appearance, mm-hmm. and also that they've got the six button controllers for the wireless. Yeah. Hopefully the build quality is good and they're not like hollow cheap pieces of shit. Then, which is always the risk.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool. I'm gonna do mine real quick because this is another good old-fashioned Cole says a release date story, but I had no idea this was happening. So I like Undertale is a fine and good game, and I'm excited for more people to be able to play it, although God, if you were ever going to play it, you probably would have played it already, because it's just ubiquitous on PC. However,
I have it in my backlog. I haven't played it yet.
It okay. Don't like buy into a lot of the hype. It is fine. It is fun and good. Like it will.
Table on top of Cole. It's not his fault. Okay,
right.
I got
okay,
it.
There we go. Yep. Thank you. You read in between the lines.
Yes.
What is there negative hype about it?
Oh, just like any popular thing, there's backlash.
Like
I will say it doesn't exactly. It takes a while to get going.
Yeah. The opening tutorial outside of the music is kind of a bummer. Yeah.
Unrelated to that, and unrelated to your story, I just remembered Resident Evil Vendetta came out, and I'm totally watching it with Sam tomorrow.
Wait, is that the?
That's the CG movie with Chris and Leon that looks super ridiculous. There have been like GIFs and stuff, little clips of it, and it looks so ridiculous. Yeah. I'm so excited.
The fact that there are two different kind of simultaneously running Resident Evil film series is kind of mind bending to me.
Yeah, this is the CG one. The CG ones are actually pretty good. I mean, like the story is about on par with anything you'd expect from a Resident Evil whatever, right. But like, you know, it's good fun, so look forward to watching that. Anyway, continue on about Undertale. Talking about that,
I had no idea that it was announced and was going to be coming out for the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita, but that's the story. It's coming out for the Vita, most notably, which is really great, because that is a game that, like most JRPGs, would really benefit from a portable format. It's coming out like in the middle of August, so
groovy.
Hop on that. And there's like a cool like physical collector's edition that Fangamer's doing that has like a little music playing locket. I don't know if I'm going to spend the money on it, but I'll be pretty down to buy the portable copy, because I don't know, that seems like a game that I would like to have in portable form.
In more form. Places.
Yeah. David, you started playing Undertale, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't remember you talking about it on the show.
I didn't get a lot of traction in it.
Okay.
You know, it was sort of a game I definitely like recognized the good end. That's a really weird way to say it. But you know, I definitely recognized like the quality and like what people saw for it.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of the core gameplay wasn't really that interesting for me.
That's perfectly fair.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Sounds
I do
accurate
really
to what
like
I know about David.
you do really like what though, David?
I did really like the characters though.
Yeah. That's a big standout for me.
I assume that the skeleton kid like continues to be a thing.
He's Sans is very important. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
So that's my story. Short and sweet. Cole says a release date. Gets excited about a game that he will not play.
And then Jala talks about something completely unrelated to what Cole's talking about.
And yeah, we checked all the boxes.
Yeah, we did. Let's move on. David, your turn.
Show's over. No. All right, so this one's a little bit of a weird one.
What are you doing to us, David?
Yeah, so there was a NPR story today with a... One moment. With a fellow who wrote a book on Steve Bannon, and I do not have the actual article up to get the name of the book.
It is called Devil's Bargain, and the title of the article on NPR, and this also relates to, it's like a long form piece on Fresh Air. It's called Inside the, quote, Shakespearean Irony of Trump and Bannon's Relationship.
And, you know, mostly it's just kind of a actually fairly interesting kind of, I guess, like pseudo biography of like Bannon and how he, you know, kind of came to be and, you know, how you know, that basically led to Trump's campaign, stuff like that. But one of the interesting stories that makes it, you know, relevant to this is that apparently, Bannon, after working for Goldman Sachs, worked at a Chinese gold farming company.
Mm-hmm.
Where he
and not like growing golden plants in China, specifically, and WoW, right? Like setting up bots and setting up you know, paying people in China to just harvest as much gold as possible from WoW.
Right, and so he he basically, according to the AV Club article on the subject, was hired basically to try to get Goldman Sachs to invest in the company, which they eventually did. And after a series of shenanigans, he became the CEO, who, again, according to the article, he replaced Brock Pierce, who played the... son of the president in Sinbad's movie First Kid.
Often seen on a double feature with Blank Check.
Yes.
Okay.
So, as the AV Club story states it, because this story is very weird. So yeah, but the relevant thing about that is the obsessive MMO fans of the day basically rallied together on the forums and turned against the gold farmers and ultimately got them kicked out of World of Warcraft or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was what inspired Bannon that angry young white guys online could be a powerful political force for change.
Way to go, World of Warcraft players. You made the second Goebbels. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Huh.
So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to listen to this because Steve Bannon as a walking liver spot is, you know, just one of the most repulsive people in every regard that I've ever seen. Or heard of. I think he's a blight upon the earth, but his story is kind of fascinating to me.
Yeah, huh. there was also actually so I currently until I move into my actual house in Cincinnati, I have a reasonably long commute to work, so I listen to a lot of NPR.
Yeah.
There is also actually recently a story on Roger Stone, kind of a profile on him that was very, very fascinating. Has nothing to do with video games, so it's not relevant to this podcast, but I would recommend it because it was actually very, very good.
Yeah. Huh. So. Well, yeah, I'll make sure this link gets into the notes.
Yeah.
Note heavy, link heavy episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. That's not a good section ender, but that's going to happen.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Jala, you put up this question, so what did you ask the nice people?
Well, I asked, and this is I'll explain where it came from, but what is the most inane in-game task that you've ever found yourself continually coming back to? This can be either dictated by the game, like boring side quests or whatever, or made up entirely by you, something like deciding to collect a certain item or trying to sit in every single chair just because you can, etc. And this was actually brought on because I was listening to Obsessed podcast with Joseph Scrimshaw. It is a comedy podcast, and he talks to different people who have different obsessions every week. Mm. And he was talking to a guy who was obsessed with boring side quests, doing boring shit in games. So, like, I was like, you know, that's a thing we've never asked. Let's
he
ask
was
about
talking
that.
To Critical Path Johnny's arch nemesis.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, you mean Dilly Dally Danny?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, can we pause and appreciate how badass of last name Scrimshaw is?
Yeah. Bone carver.
He also wears a squirrel costume sometimes. You have to go look up this guy. He's actually pretty cool. I like him.
All right. I'm not sure how one follows from the other, actually. Yeah.
You just need to see. He All also right. has like a comedy album called Flawfest, which is about flaws, and there are songs and there are stand-up bits, and it's pretty great. You should listen to that too.
Huh.
This is not like an ad for Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm not paid to say this advertisement, but like
it's a long
seriously,
con.
It's some good shit. It's some good shit, man.
Yeah.
Go listen to it and stuff.
Sean writes.
Let's talk about the listeners. Yeah.
Yeah. Sean writes, World of Warcraft. I did mountains of daily quests. I also did a few circuits where I would run in a circle killing the same 20 pirates for reputation or kill the same 39 gorillas for skin.
I love how he remembers how many. There's 39
specifically
gorillas.
39, no more, no less.
And I'm sad that I'm guessing that was trying to... you have to, in order to get a pirate hat, you have to ally... with the Blood Sail Buccaneers, which is a crappy faction grind. And then afterwards, everyone hates you, so you then have to ungrind the faction in order to be able to do much of anything.
Yeah, be careful.
How do you ungrind?
You kill your former pirate allies.
Yeah.
That's just more grinding. That's re-grinding.
Yeah, you have to grind back. Yeah, be careful how far you walk, because you're gonna have to walk back. That's the that's how the old parable goes. Yeah, gorillas? They look like gorillas to you, huh? David, what does John say?
Sure. John says, "I've save scummed a lot doing the crafting in Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together." I know this system is bad. You have a percent chance to lose supplies when combining them, which includes your expensive weapons. But I can't stop myself from trying to squeeze as much power of my characters as I can. The number of times you have to forge stuff together gets silly in the upper levels. Think about 40 forges per character, all with decent chances to fail, multiplied by 20 characters.
Oh, Jesus.
Also, how did Let Us Cling Together get past the marketing department?
It's a Queen reference.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that sounds like hell. I mean, save scumming, that's fine, I suppose. Like, if you're doing it on an emulator where, like, you just have to go back. But, like, if you engage with that system as the designer intended, they hate you, and B, you probably hate yourself, dear God.
Yeah.
Jala, what does Greg say?
Greg says, trying to get the pink tail in Final Fantasy IV. I tried it when I heard about it shortly after the game came out, and I already had beaten the game. Having the time as a teen, I tried getting it one weekend, playing straight through, and after about 40 hours and hundreds of tries, I got it. I can honestly say, though, that the reward isn't worth it. Was good for bragging rights, though.
So, cool. Can you give me some context on this?
Yes, I will elucidate. So this is one of the few side quests that exists in Final Fantasy IV. There is a character who lives inside of a mine who collects exotic tails off of animals. And there are some that you can get over the course of the game where you just go there and give it to him, and then he gives you some ore, and you have to take that to somebody else, and he forges it into a weapon for you. I believe that's how you get Excalibur, which is a really high-level sword that is tops only compared to one you get in the very final dungeon, which is the Crystal Sword or Ragnarok. Now, the pink tail is what you use to get the adamantine armor, I believe. I forget. There's so many different versions of this game. And the, it's not great.
So the guy in the cave is really morbid and needs to be put somewhere else because he's weird and creepy.
Yeah, right. He's clearly
collecting
a serial
tails.
It's an ersatz asylum, I think, is what it's supposed to be read as. So
and you said adamantium armor, and I'm just like, Wolverine armor?
Oh yeah, except on the outside, it's an adamantium exoskeleton. It would have saved everybody a lot of trouble. I know there is a character who has an adamantine exoskeleton. I just do not remember the name of that character. However, the rarest item that you have to bring to him is called the pink tail. This is harvested off of the Flan princesses in which you can only find in one small room on the moon in the very final dungeon. These numbers are probably incorrect, but it gives you a good sense of what the scale is. If you're just walking around this room, you only have a 1 in 64 chance of encountering this group. They're a pretty difficult group of enemies to fight because they berserk you, and any of the Flan or Pudding characters are very resistant to physical damage. And then, on top of that 1/64th appearance rate, they also only have roughly a 1 in 64 chance of dropping that item. You can ameliorate this in most versions by getting an item called the Siren, which initiates a random encounter in that in any room where you're standing, and it's always a specific encounter. Like, so if you fire off the Siren in that room, you will get the pink, you know, the Flan princess to show up. However, that is only available in one dungeon that is, it's only available in one dungeon that goes away, that you can't go back to. It's only in the Giant of Babel. So you have to know when you're going there, to have Edge, your ninja character, steal as many of those as possible from the Sired enemies. Later versions would introduce, bonus dungeons that you can go to and kind of harvest these things, harvest the Sirens, but they do not actually make those. They do not actually make the drop rate any better. It just gets rid of that first 1/64th.
The Flan princess does not look very nice.
No, it's a very aggressive character, very aggressive looking
character. It looks like bloodshot eyes and it's got crazy looking teeth, and it looks like a big pink sheet, like a big piece of gack. I mean, wasn't that a thing Ben brought up last time I was on? Was gack?
Yep.
So. Was it? Isn't that a J-pop star?
Fawn Princess?
No. Gack.
Nickelodeon's gack.
Gack.
Yes.
She's back in idol form.
Also probably Flam Princess.
Gackt is a male, and he is a martial artist in various martial arts, and he's a total douchebag these days, but you can see him in Bunraku, where he plays whatever the shit his name is, the Japanese guy in there that David idolizes and wants to eat all the wasabi so he can be like him. Yep. So he can be as badass as Flan Princess Gackt.
Connections. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very much not worth it. It is the best armor in the game. However, it's not a hard game. So it might as well just be like a piece of paper that says you did it !! And then they would take this very system and take it out of control in the after years. All kinds of tales you have to go
after. I need validation. I'm going to do it. I got to get it. Reasons.
Yeah. Okay. So hopefully I wasn't too terribly inaccurate. There are people who know that game much better than I do, but that is a rough summary.
Where do the gacked things get their tail from? Because they don't have a tail.
I think it's on the inside.
The tail's on the inside.
I think tail is pudding for heart.
Tails? That's really... Okay, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Let's see here. Alex writes, breeding competitive teams in the Pokemon series. Holy shit. Yeah, that's also kind of just the like the crafting thing as well. That involves a lot of time too, because you have to walk around a lot for those things to hatch, unless there's a hack I'm not aware of.
There might be. I don't know. But if he's putting it in the boring side quest area, he's meaning like he did the thing for reals.
Yeah, yeah. David, what does Chase say?
Sure. Chase says that I navigate away from the screen.
Oh, okay. Well, it seems like it'd be hard to read the question.
Yes.
Why did Chase tell you to do that?
You know, it, Chase. He's got out for me. Chase says, I have a tendency to get deeply involved with player housing systems. No matter how dull or perfunctory, or technically extant, if there is a real estate, I want to own it. That said, I doubt any purpose-built system will triumph over the time spent in Morrowind, assassinating villagers to steal the garbage one-room apartments and tricking them out with multicolored lanterns and glass armor sets. They added in strongholds that you could actually own at the end of a long quest line, but my way has more charm.
Dude, you stole my answer! I was doing this shit! Although I have like a very, very specific answer for mine, but that was same game, same principle. I was killing some folks and taking their shit. So, so yeah.
Yeah.
You were a man after my own heart, Chase.
But then you keep getting harassed by the Dark Brotherhood fools.
Dark Brotherhood, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Dark Brotherhood. That's
the Mad Magazine version of the Dark Brotherhood.
You.
Jello, what does Alexander say?
Alexander says, scanning for minerals in Mass Effect 2. Why? Why did I spend so much time doing that dumb minigame? Oh, yeah, because stuff you needed for the best ending required it. Ugh.
I do not remember any of that.
I don't remember the best ending requiring you to have anything. Oh, maybe he's talking about getting the minerals to upgrade your ship so your systems would survive. To support you in the final mission, maybe. I don't remember having to do too much of the mineral scanning. Like, there's so many that are available inside the missions themselves.
Was that also related to the Warthog missions?
Mass Effect 2 did not have those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't remember. I'm thinking of Mass Effect 1. My bad.
Yeah. Huh. No, but that mineral scanning is no good. I don't care for that one bit. And also the fact that they just like made it two times as fast in a patch says you guys knew there was a problem with this.
So here's a question. Mineral scanning. I don't know anything because I haven't played Mass Effect, but and I haven't played No Man's Sky, but that sounds like No Man's Sky. Is that like the same thing? Like essentially the same principle of what you were doing?
It's like the way that it articulates is almost like a minesweeper kind of game. from your galaxy map. So you bring up a planet, and then you kind of play hot and cold trying to find the mineral deposits, and then you fire off your probe. It's no good.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, it's not great. Jason writes, I played a lot of Destiny and spend a sad amount of time running circuits in areas to fulfill requirements of daily quests and such. The grind is real, and I easily fall into that loop.
Gotta get those achievos, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we know.
And Destiny is made worse by the fact that literally every enemy has an equal chance to drop any given piece of loot.
What?
So there's not really even, like, you can't even grind on, say, like, a boss in order to get an exclusive drop.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
I had no idea that it was that indiscriminate, huh?
Yep.
David, what does David say?
David says, everything in RuneScape. Why I spent hours upon hours chopping trees and mining ore for minimal rewards? I'll never know. See, this was one I actually thought about, although kind of similar to Destiny and Warframe. Like, all of these games were definitely, like, kind of boring and grindy, but sort of became kind of a zen type of thing for me. So like, I have really positive memories of just the mindless grinding on RuneScape.
I could believe that before you had the antibodies.
Yeah.
Although I am really disappointed that the most recent version, I thought about going back, but they've changed the lighting system and the game now takes place during the day, and that's that's just I don't know why. The fact that it was, like, eternally night was a big part of my memories of RuneScape, but apparently it is.
Atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jala, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, there are many, but I'm going through Dark Souls 2 again, and I wanted to use Santir's spear. I have never used it before, so I was surprised when I found out you could break the rock off of the spear. Now, it has a 500 durability, and I spent an hour bopping enemies in the head. I looked, and it was at 10 durability, so close to my goal, I could taste it. And then the unthinkable, a hollow scratched me, and I died. What sucks is the durability went back to 500. R.I.P. Santir's spear, I will stick with power stancing cestuses.
Yep.
I suppose... Dark Souls probably has a number. I remember some pretty good grinding for Baldur's side swords.
Yeah. spent 6 years playing the game, wanting to do a good dex build, because you know that, like, that's a way that is, you know, difficult to play that game. And I wanted the Baldur's side sword in order to play that. Or play it that way, and then never ever got a Baldur's side sword no matter how much I farmed for it. And then just this past weekend, playing the game, I'm fully committed on a strength build, and I kill one of the Baldur knights in order to just get enough to do my, like, one of my final upgrades on my Zweihander, and yeah, he drops the Baldur's side sword. Like, well, fuck, there's no respec, so I guess I'm just going to post a photograph of this and say, to everything there is a season, turn.
I mean, you can always quality build it, right?
That's harder to do in Dark Souls 1.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
That's some BS.
Yeah, and that's Santir's.
You're kicking the nuts. Like, come on, man. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Let's see here. Graham writes, I've done completionist nonsense so much my mind can't even remember a specific image. In the last couple of years, I've done my best to break myself out of that mindset. After I'm done with a game, the last thing I'm going to say is, I'm really glad I spent all that time farming for every last type of mineral. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to justify, like, if you had to account for that on a timesheet.
Yeah.
David, what does Jonathan say?
So Jonathan says, No Man's Sky. Still like the game, aside from the bash in the internet gave it. Also Destiny, because of the group of friends. We still play for the social parts, all the grindly, mindless things you have to do.
Yeah. Yep. Destiny makes a second appearance.
Ye old existential Dread Simulator. Sorry. No, I'm joking. I gained new insight into the joys of that watching my friend play the most recent Zelda and proceed to like play for hours without killing anything.
Oh yeah. Like on purpose or just they're not doing anything that requires killing.
Well, just to the point that like as far as they are concerned, Zelda whatever in Into the Wild or whatever is a foraging and cooking simulator.
Yeah. It's a really good one at that.
Yep.
Jella, what does Brandon say?
Brandon says, this question sums up a lot of MMO design in a nutshell. Farm this old content for cosmetics. Run these current dungeons for a chance at minor upgrades. Do this crafting. In Warlords of Draenor, there were several Farmville-like mechanics where you had to clean out your base of material stockpiles and then reallocate. And I did it every day. Thing is, I kind of like that. Daily turn-ins or other inane tasks are the relaxing part of games that help me unwind before doing harder stuff later in the play session. This is courtesy of the_patches from the Slack.
Yeah.
So it's not actually Brandon.
Oh, okay.
Thank you for posting it, though, Brandon. You are awesome for doing that. And yay, the patch has got his question in.
Yeah, thank you.
Yay.
Yeah. I can see that. Like, that's totally a thing. Like, putting something on a to-do list that you know you've already done or is like incredibly easy to do for the express purpose of crossing it off to make yourself feel like a big shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then just like relaxing and unwinding because you can check out of doing the thing that you're doing. That's understandable for sure. It's kind of like the Zen experience I have when I'm doing the Endless Runner Skydancer, which I'm still fucking playing. I mean, like, I don't like any other Endless Runners, but I like that one. So whatever.
Yeah.
How many tables has that game caused to be flipped, though?
Absolutely none. Like, I'm chill.
She likes it.
Game. Oh.
I like it. It's cool.
And this is going to be the last time around because we're coming up on time for the section. Jeremy writes, going through each area in Dark Souls 2 until enemies no longer respawn. During my first playthrough, I did this just to grind levels. I figured my avatar was more likely to get good than the sad schmuck controlling him. As time went on, I got a surprising amount of satisfaction from clearing each area and making my way to the next boss in peace. I also liked the idea of the bearer of the curse putting these lost souls to rest, while at the same time repeating the task over and over again, like someone who had gone hollow would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that Riff from Video Games Hot Dog he played in a similar fashion to that. Noted challenge runner Lobos Jr., when I suggested a similar run to him, you know, this is the person who like beat the entirety of Dark Souls 2 just using the ladle, and that's like one of the less challenging things that he's done. That's right, a soup ladle. He shuddered at the idea of doing something that required that kind of commitment. So yeah, that's intense. David, what does David say? I didn't plan that.
David says, clearing all the grass in any given area in Minecraft. Not only is the sound super satisfying and it makes a nice flat area to build on, but the selection of flowers gained from it was A+.
I want to wander around and do that in Zelda. Like, I just want to start mowing everything and just start cutting all the grass.
That's absolutely how I play 2D Zeldas. Like, walking around in Link's Awakening, just methodically going from top to bottom, left to right.
Yep, just everything. And as a kid, I would never do that now. But like, at the time, yeah, totally.
There's rupees in there. You want to get that money?
I think the one that I found most kind of realizing how much is ingrained to me is Hollow Knight, where there's literally no reward for doing it.
Yeah,
and I still do it.
Not even not even like an achievement. Yeah,
right.
And then Jala, what does Sam say?
Sam says, I got all of the Dark Moon miracles in Dark Souls single player. And also I'm gonna, like, in addition to that, I have to say Michael Prenz, because I can't even, like, we were talking in the Slack and I know that the man says that he likes the grindy bits, but this breaks my brain. He said that he reached the level cap of 9999 in Disgaea 3, then reset and reached it 110 more times for these sweet, sweet bonus stats. I can't even wrap my head around that. So anyway, whatever comments you have about Sam's Dark Souls, Dark Moon Miracles, or Michael Prince's insane Disgaea 3 thing. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Michael Prenny.
Yeah. Oh, no. no, this is the souvenir reprisal thing, in case somebody who's listening doesn't know that. So the Dark Moon Miracles are gotten by participating in a covenant that is primarily multiplayer PvP. You get these things called souvenirs of reprisal, which are actually the ears of the people that you slay by doing these invasions. You can get them as drops just from PvE, but they are from an enemy where very few of them exist, and they are uncommon drops, and you need an uncharacteristically large number of them to make that happen. So it requires a lot of farming of this kind of inconvenient enemy to make happen. The Disgaea thing is fucking nuts.
I was just like, I mean, we were talking, you know, because we were having the ongoing, you know, discussion in the Slack level channel about grinding, because I am playing Final Fantasy Tactics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people are talking about grinding in that game. And we were just on this long kick, and he was saying how much he enjoys the grinding, though, and how he plays Warframe ridiculous amounts and all this other stuff. And then just I read that and I'm just like, my jaw has dropped. I don't have anything to say. Yeah. At all.
I don't think that wow. I don't think that every one of those levels is hard fought for, because there are exploits that you can do, at least in Disgaea 1, which is the only one I've played, to where you can go to specific floors and specific items and reliably get just a tremendous amount of experience. Like, you can systematize it.
From what I've read, like, those are semi intentional exploits.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got to say, Michael, I'm a little bit unimpressed, because if you came to me and said that you leveled up all of your items to 9999, I would be, you know, I'd say, hey, this is a guy who can hang, you know.
Don't give him any new goals. Just, he's got Warframe to play.
Yeah, and he does. Let's do ours. Mine's real easy. Every time I play Final Fantasy VII, I master all the materia.
Okay. There
full
you
stop.
Go.
Cool. Yep. So, David, how about you?
I feel like mine sort of goes with Michael Prenn, in that Warframe is definitely my jam in that respect. I think some of it's just a combination of, you know, kind of what people said with, you know, sort of the relaxing kind of, you know, getting in the grind thing, and also the fact that you know, once you get good at it, you're just constantly, you know, running through the stages at full speeds, you know, doing knee slides and running off walls and things like that. Yeah. So it just, it almost becomes like one of those like parkour platformer runner games.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Angela, I know you kind of said yours.
Yeah, I kind of already said mine, but also, like, talk about MMOs, like, I've said it before, but in the original Guild Wars, the only time I have ever actually zen in any game at all has been in the original Guild Wars, when I was, you know, grinding levels or whatever the shit I was grinding, I don't remember, and listening to a Short History of Japan podcast by Cameron Foster, really fun, funny podcast by an Aussie professor who has a great sense of humor. So lots of fun stuff, lots of interesting stuff going on that podcast. And I would just listen to that and laugh and play the game and just kind of check out. But that's the only time I've ever been able to tune out an MMO. Yeah. But yeah, like my Morrowind thing. Morrowind, by the way, was the first PC game I'd really played since like Windows 95, because I just did not have a computer for a while there. And so I was kind of totally blown away by it. And I am a terrible person in those games, so I completely steal everything and kill everyone if I can get away with it. So I wiped out entire towns and, you know, took over their houses. And I started, like, there was a particular house that I decided that was going to be my house, and that was the one that I wanted to redecorate. And I decided that I needed six of a very specific plate that had to have a specific pattern on it, and I needed to stack them ever just so carefully in a particular spot. And so I spent all of this time on this pointless endeavor just because I could, because this was like the first game I could do any of this shit in that I'd ever played. And, you know, because I also don't pay attention to like any story, main story quests at, like at all. So I just kind of like wander off and do my own thing. So I was wandering all over the world and I only ever found like four of them. And I brought home all of these other pattern plates and, you know, thought that they looked close, but they weren't.
Oh, no.
And so, like, it made me really appreciate the variety of inane objects in that game, or at least I remember them having, like, so many in that one. Because in Skyrim, there's only, like, five items you ever find in barrels and shit. But, like, in Morrowind, holy hell, there was, like, everything in the kitchen sink. You could probably pick that up, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like I remember in Skyrim, I was like so obsessed with stealing stuff that I would literally like wait there behind a guy and like steal individual berries that are like rolling around on the table and shit. Like I want to steal literally everything, everything.
Hey, if he wanted to keep it, he would have nailed it down.
Exactly. So I literally would just take everything and just, yeah. So that's my answer. I was just like in Elder Scrolls games, you know, apparently stealing every single thing in sight. And then, like, in Morrowind, my weird quest plate, you know, I don't even know what that particular plate looked like. And if I went back into that game, I probably could not tell you which one it was.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, many different types of plates. I don't know.
We are all ridiculous. Every last one. But, yes, thank you, everybody, for writing in on that. If you want to participate in the multiplayer prompts, those go up on Tuesday afternoons, thanks to both Jala and to Dennis, whoever happens to put it up, and this time it was Jala. Thank you, Jala.
The grind.
Now it is time for the grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, it has been the longest since you've been here, so I'm going to throw it to you first.
Sure, I have stuff that I did. So I played Vermintide with, in my co-op corner, Vermintide with Greg, George, and Ed. I did some of the DLC, I think. I don't remember what the shit we did. I think we did a couple of DLC quests. I don't remember which ones, but it happened.
Yeah.
I didn't dream it. And then after that, Sam, Greg, and Ed, and I all played Guild Wars 2 and finished four story dungeons.
Hmm. Are those big?
And I had talked about this back when I was doing Guild Wars previously, but like that was kind of like my goal of the game because I had finished out all the original story content, but I had never finished all of the dungeons. I had only gotten up to the level 60 dungeon, and there was so much more after that. So the first weekend, we did two dungeons back-to-back, Twilight Arbor and Sorrow's Embrace, and I had already done those before. But then this last weekend, we did Citadel of Flame and Honor of the Waves. And so that was exciting because I finally got to see new dungeons I hadn't ever seen that I didn't know if I would ever, ever see. And it's because Ed is a listener who just more recently, I think, had joined the Slack mm-hmm. and, you know, popped up and somebody had pinged me in the game channel because he was talking about Guild Wars 2, and he's like, hey, is there a group playing that game? And, you know, that's how it all happened, how it all fell out. Someone was like, Jala knows about that thing, and then off we went.
Yeah.
So, so thank you, Ed, and thank you, Greg and Sam. We are going to, this next weekend, finish up the last two dungeons in the original campaign, which is going to be real exciting for me. Oh, yeah. I finally did it! My goal from, like, forever ago. So,
nice. Yeah.
And then also I've been playing Skydancer, like I said. My current high score is over 80,000 and counting. I'm still not bored of it. The last time I was in, just for reference, it was at maybe 20,000.
So
I've improved exponentially at this game.
Yeah,
and
that's
the new challenges
jump.
Yeah, the new challenges include ever-narrowing platforms and long jumps followed by immediate short jumps, horizontal jumping, jumping on subsequent platforms up, jumping around walls, which requires more maneuvering, like you're midair and you have to like navigate around a wall and hit the platform and keep going. So, so it's a lot of fun. I am still enjoying it for whatever reason, and yes, they are still throwing new stuff at me.
Oh, that's good. What's the main thing you've been playing, though?
Well, two things. I actually have a couple of games. I've continued playing Final Fantasy Tactics, so I finished Chapter 2. And Ramza is currently a monk, and before that he was a black mage. I may toggle him back to being a black mage again, but I had him as a monk just because everybody was telling me how awesome the chakra skill was. So I went ahead and just was like, okay, well, let's see the thing.
Yeah.
I have found that particular party members I tend to use more than others, and I will toggle between the classes on those particular people, and then just like the other people are trash and they get thrown on expeditions, which I didn't even know what the shit that was until somebody was like, you should be going to the tavern and sending people on expeditions. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I hadn't even looked at that since the beginning of the game when I poked in there and was like, I'm not reading 7 pages of lore. You know?
No, you just want to send them out because it's a way to keep your, it's a way to level up your low level dudes.
My dudes that I don't pay attention to anyway. that's the thing that I'm doing. And I don't know, that's about it. Like I have been doing that. I don't have anything really to say about it because the story continues to not interest me. And I fought Oogie Boogie. That was like one of the last things I did. I guess I've been kind of doing something mildly grindy-ish because like since people were like, hey, expeditions are a thing, I'm like, oh. So now I want to go back to all the places that I've been before and go see what the expeditions are and go send my people off on expeditions. So that's what I decided to do because I don't care about the story. So I'm doing side quests, you know, random crap because that's what I do in any game you give me the ability to if I don't care about the main game story.
But
so,
of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been doing that. That's the thing.
The characters that you are throwing off by the wayside, are those the kind of like the non-named non-story characters, or are those the kind of the people who come in with kind of limited move sets?
It's not the NPC people. Those people just like they tend to end up in my party or they're okay. Like they're not the worst. Like it's just some of the random trash people that you get that they don't talk to you and you can't talk to them, and I've already complained about that before. They are like nothing to you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, those nobles who don't care about the common people. Yeah,
right, I'm one of
them. I don't talk to my people.
Go die for me.
Yeah, they are nothing to me. Yeah, so yeah, they continue to be nothing to me. There's like certain people that I care about that I like, and those are the only people that I ever really use. So yeah. Do you ever get like a party size bigger than 5 people?
If you do, it's toward the end, like in a very special mission. It is normally about that size.
Oh, great. Well, then that means I don't ever have to care about them. Okay. I'm not obligated. Great. It's not like a Rin situation from Torment where I got bitter because I was like, you know, you have to have these, you know, this person you don't want in your party.
Yeah.
Damn it.
The good thing about the randos, you know, the ones who either you get when you start, or the ones that you recruit from the taverns, is you have just complete ability to customize them. You know, you can bring them up in the classes that you want to, as opposed to having the special NPCs come in who have their own who have their own kind of lanes that they're stuck to.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's a thing, and I just kind of toggle them between stuff, and I, like, my black mage is also my time mage, is also my summoner, and, you know, I've got a white mage who's also a, whatever the hell he is, what is he, a mystic, and so on, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, the last thing I've been playing is a game called Wasted. It is a post-apocalyptic pub crawler is how it's described, which is totally misleading. I thought it'd be some kind of I thought it was misleading. I thought it was going to be some kind of funny exploration RPG or like a Visinov or something relaxing from that description. So I was like, well, I feel like shit because I'm sleeping like 14 hours a day because of my surgery and stuff, and I just kind of want to chill.
Yeah.
And it's not that kind of a game. It looks kind of like a big head, simplistic Fallout looking inspired thing.
Yeah, it's like chibi or super deformed Borderlands is what it looks like.
Yeah, like that. It's indie roguelike FPS type whatever. The humor, at least from the bit that I played, has not really hit home with me, but the game plays well enough. So like basically a nuclear war kills off all of the smart people, and those left alive are part of what is, you know, this is a quote from the Steam page, an ersatz post-apocalyptic stillborn 80s, which continues indefinitely, populated by wasters. And your whole goal of the game is to get booze, which is all irradiated and glowing. And you can build, like, because it's a roguelike, you can build a home. So when your character dies, somebody else takes it over, and then you have a new guy to continue playing with. And I can see where other people would enjoy it, but it's not really my jam. Like, I played some of it just because I was kind of in that I feel like shit, and I'm bleeding from places, and I'm in pain, and I'm on medication, kind of like apathy towards everything. And I would just like, I just kept playing because I was already playing.
Right.
Makes any sense. So, yeah, but yeah, like, it plays fine. It's a FPS type thing. You know, equip different, armor and weapons and stuff that give you different abilities, and yeah, like it's very much like a SD, super deformed Borderlands or whatever.
Yeah. What kind of character customization can you do, like, from an abilities standpoint?
I don't know. I didn't get very far into it. Like, it's mostly tied from what I saw to the whatever weapon you put on and whatever armor. That's where all the stuff that I had any access to was tied to, just like, you know, the usual like speed build or raw power kind of whatnot, like nothing exceptional, nothing new and exciting.
Yeah,
from what you might see in a different game. So it's all right. I mean, like, it's an indie game that's sort of kind of like Borderlands. So I mean, if you like that kind of thing, you might like Wasted. But
yeah. Yeah. It's an Adult Swim game as well. If that informs your informs your opinion of it.
I think I got it in a bundle or something. I know I didn't just like go to Steam and be like, oh, I want to buy this game, it looks good. No,
I'm positive you did.
So anyway, that's a thing I played, and probably other people listening to this probably have it. Mm-hmm. Well, now you know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to go back to it, but it's a thing that's there. And if you like Borderlands type things and you want to play something random one day, there you go. Mm-hmm.
It might even be in your library right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of curious. I'm going to look and see if it's in mine.
Perhaps you got wasted and bought it.
Oh.
No, it's not in mine. Huh?
Weird. You missed that bundle, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, well. Is that all, Jolly?
That is all.
David, how about you?
Sure. So I actually haven't been doing much all that interesting.
You're setting up your new life and fighting off rival dojos.
Right. Exactly. You know, as you do. I've continued to be grinding on Vermintide, and I continue to not be able to get any decent drops for the Witch Hunter, which is unfortunate. But on the plus side, cutting rats in half never stops to be fun. So unlike in MMOs. So yeah, I don't know. I've started playing the nightmare difficulty, which is the second highest difficulty in the game and is very, very challenging. So that's kind of been fun. Has added a lot more life to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been enjoying. I played around some with Dennis the expansion DLC. Levels, and one of the things I'm really enjoying is they definitely do a lot more effort to beef up the dialogue between the characters and kind of display some of the more the background and personalities and things like that. So that's been kind of fun. Other than that, I'm continuing to grind it out in Guild Wars in the hopes of eventually doing some dungeon running.
Guild Wars 2 specifically?
Yes, okay. Yes. So currently my character is level 39, but I've saved up 22 Tomes of Knowledge. which basically give you a instant level up. So I guess what I could be 61 at any given time.
Woohoo!
But
Well, let me just clarify too, David, that when we did the dungeons, we were doing story mo mode only. There's also an explorable mode for all the dungeons. So, you have to go through the story mode, I think, in order to go through the explorable modes. But we can run you through those pretty quick, so you can do explorable mode action with us whenever we decide to go do those.
nice, nice.
Continue.
And I'm probably gonna pick up the expansion pretty soon, which
Yay!
gives you a free upgrade to level 80.
Also
But
glider and also the free upgrade gives you max level armor too.
oh, nice.
Yeah.
But that's going to require me to I'll figure out which class I really want to play but don't want to level.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I'm kind of leaning towards either the engineer or the necromancer, but we shall see.
Cool.
So other than that, I'm continuing to grind along on Warframe. I'm trying to get the Boltor, which is basically a needle gun or a nail gun that was well, I should say the Boltor Prime, which is was reintroduced to the game for a limited period of time.
Okay.
So,
What's special about this item?
so basically, one of my complaints about the game is that there are very few weapons that approximate an assault rifle. Almost all of the automatic primary weapons basically are designed with very large clip size and with a spin up, so they act more like a chain gun or a light
Yeah.
machine gun.
Yeah.
And the vast and most of the assault rifles that do exist aren't very good. And so this is kind of the one end game viable assault rifle. It's also kind of fun because it's interesting because it's not a hit scan weapon, and the needles will when they kill an enemy, they'll basically call it c cause it to fly back and like stick in the, be pinned to a wall. And the way the gameplay works, when you kill an enemy and cause them to fly back, if they hit another enemy, they deal the full damage of your original attack to that enemy.
Oh, wow.
So they can just be kind of a fun weapon. So I've got basically a end game shotgun, and it's very effective, but has gotten kind of boring. So I'm trying out something else.
Every single time you said the name of that gun or whatnot, I kept on thinking you were saying Voltorb, like the Pokemon. And I was just like, what?
Yes, I am attacking with my Pokemons. Well, the chat has already decided that the evidence clearly points to Warframe being set in the Final Fantasy universe, and therefore they are going to try to get it covered on Watch Out for Fireballs.
Oh, Lord.
So that's the
Listen to that silence.
thing.
Silence falls, killing six.
Yeah, I don't know that we would do it.
Yeah, I'll
No,
be
it's
totally honest.
we're
Like,
not ruling it
as
out, but
much
like.
as I really love the game, I would be hard pressed to think of a game that would be less the type of game that you and Gary like.
It's not so much about like what we like, although both of us have kind of meh feelings on MMOs in general. I just think we have to be very careful when we call that shot, because with anything, even though Warframe, I mean, like I want to say that Warframe is kind of new, but it's not. Like it's been around forever, right?
It's yes and no. Yes, it has been around for a very long time, although it's at least somewhat relatively recently, kind of reinvented itself. But no, it's definitely a older game. I mean, it came out probably when I was in Huntsville.
So about like, three, like
probably
three
be
years
at least
ago.
4 years.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just, you know, it'd be like talking about any MMO would be like walking into a thresher. Like, I'm not against even doing that, but there's so many people who know so much more. Like, even when we tried to do, Team Fortress 2, we got called a bunch of pathetic normies for, you know, even talking about the story at all. Like,
yeah,
it's just...
And I guess what I'm saying is I'm totally not trying to either like I don't know, be like anti-pretentious or be pretentious or whatever, but it's just like it's very much a game I don't think you would like.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I feel like Watch Out for Fireballs is most fun when you're playing games you guys really like. You know what I'm saying?
There are people who say the exact opposite because they don't like us.
Oh, well, you know,
no,
have you suggested, hey, why don't you Patreon towards abject suffering?
No, that's not, I'm being glib. Yeah. So, huh. And has that been all, Guild Wars, Vermintide, and Warframe?
Yeah, that's been of note. I mean, I've messed around just a little bit with, Dead Souls, but it's mostly just, you know, continues to be a fun game. Like,
yeah.
That's basically the take-home message.
Do you know roughly like where they're at in development on that? Because I'm real jazzed to try it, but I don't want to get it while it's still in early access.
Sure. If I remember correctly, they consider there to be like two levels or worlds or whatever you want to say completed, and they say on the early access page how many they intend to have in the final release. I want to say it's something like 6,
right?
So I also think they're still, it seems like some of the patches are still getting kind of like fairly fundamental features. So like when Ben was talking about the electric whip basically dealing damage to enemies standing in water, I think like all of the elemental effects like that were added 2 patches ago. It's a thing where like the patches are still like, this is the such and such feature patch.
Right.
So, yeah. So I would say like, I would kind of estimate like maybe a third-ish to a half-ish way through is kind of the feeling I get.
Yeah. Well, I'll pay attention to it. I know people in our community like it and they will let us know through the through the usual channels.
Yep.
Nice. And as I alluded to at the beginning of the episode, I have not been doing anything besides playing Final Fantasy IV The After Years, which I am liking, and feeling kind of crazy because I'm the only person in the entire world who likes it, apparently. But we will talk about that in the middle of August. And also finishing up, I'm about halfway through Dark Souls. I just beat Anor Londo today. On my grand tour through the finale for the final series, final season. So hopefully I will have that done by the time we record next. I'm getting a new computer next week. I just, while we were recording, got the shipping notification.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You were waiting for that.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting with bated breath. So that's going to be pretty cool. It's coming on Monday. So God willing and Creek Don't Rise, I'm going to be recording the next one on that machine.
Ooh,
but
how exciting.
Yeah.
I am not sure I know what that means.
God willing and the Creek Don't Rise.
Yeah.
If nothing bad happens, assuming the creek doesn't flood and, you know, make it so we can't get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've never lived anywhere that has flooded. I mean, like,
although I did grow up next to a creek.
it was a very well-behaved creek, though. Cool. Well, do you all want to button it up?
Buttons,
zippers.
God
no!
damn it, David!
The credit.
Jella, have you been listening to this? Have you been listening when you haven't been here? What he's trying to do?
Yes, I have been listening to this shit, David.
Okay.
No.
All right. Cool.
Got it.
David.
Got it.
The creek is more well behaved than you. Stop that shit.
So thank you so much for listening. If you want to help out the show, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and subscribe in Apple Podcasts and rate and review us if you can. Remember that the streaming event for Jalaid to support Jala is the weekend of July the 28th through the 30th. And we'll make another announcement because the next episode's going to come out right before that. I see no sense in prolonging this. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Buttons are involved in all of those activities. Zippers are not.
Okay.
the quality of buttons is very obvious.
Picture me restraining Jala, like holding her back. Like, no, it's not worth it. Like, you know, take it outside. Like, just she's coming at you.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
And I'm Jalachan in places.
And stick around for some titles. And also after the titles, that rogue episode.
It is very worth it.
It's totally worth it. Love it.
Cool. Titles. Who has some? David.
Okay. So I have 2X Woff.
Okay.
Dilly Dally Danny.
I also have Dilly Dally Danny. Okay.
Yep.
Flan Princess Gacked.
How do you spell
Gacked? Yeah, I have that one also. It's GACKT.
Okay.
I also have that one.
All right.
The Tail is on the Inside.
I also have that one.
Or alternately, Tail is Pudding for Heart. And then Bad David, Stop That Shit.
I, of course, like that one. Stop that shit, David.
All right. Okay. Jala, what you got?
Literally, Dilly Dally Danny, Flan Princess Gacked, and the Tails on the Inside. That's it.
Okay. I have Let the People Know.
Pretty good.
That's from the beginning. Yes. I forget what it was in relation to, but it
that was me in my thing that I said that was, it sounds very bad.
Oh,
it sounds
yes.
sexual, and I was. You were like, "You want me to edit that?" And I'm like, "No, fucking leave it in there." Yep. I said the thing.
I also have Dilly Dally Danny, and then I've got Raw Power Whatnot, which is something that Jala said offhand when talking about the builds and Wasted. Raw Power Whatnot.
Thing that wasn't very exciting to me, so I don't really that thing that I said.
By the votes, it's Dilly Dally Danny. Do we want to go for it?
That was not as funny to me as the other ones though.
All right. That's pushback. How about The Tail is on the Inside?
That's cool. I'm all right with that.
I could go with that. I would probably lean towards Bad David, Stop That Shit, just because I enjoy the lead up to that. But no, I think probably for our not getting kicked off of iTunes, The Tail is on the Inside is probably better.
Yeah.
Also, I need some listener or another to illustrate Flan Princess Gacked for me. Please do. I need to see this for my life. People may or may not know this, but I literally went to Japan in 2009 because I got tickets to go see Gacked live in concert. I want Flan Princess Gacked. He's kind of been like an important musician until he became a shithead. Yeah. But like till that point when he became a big douche and stopped actually making music, like he was cool. So
when you say Flan Princess or Flan Print, however it's pronounced,
it's. God damn it.
It's Flan. I say Flan because I grew up a Midwestern Philistine.
Yeah. I can't help but think of, like, I expect the enemy to be like that Fat Princess game.
Oh, yeah. That kind of uncomfortable game on the PSP. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just a princess that greatly enjoys Flan and will effing shank your party for it.
It's very rich food. Very rich food.
I've never had it.
That's okay.
I feel like that
Really? That's interesting.
that and Turkish delight are my like foods that pop culture has convinced me I should eat that I probably never will.
Turkish delight is like candied nuts or something, and that we only know about that because of Narnia.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and that's I actually read an article where it was literally talking about, how he was just trying to convince everybody that that was something tasty, and then everybody tried it, and then it wasn't. And they were just like,
Yeah,
I
it's
feel
actually
attacked.
an interesting article because it goes through like why that might have been something he'd talk about, with the argument being like, guess what? Everything was rationing and people were being bombed to death. Probably Turkish Delight would have been pretty awesome back then.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna use this extra time to either edit this or play some Dark Souls, so I can
Oh yeah,
cross
you
some
gotta
more stuff.
hit that
Probably
language
should not
somewhere.
combine those two.
Thanks.
Probably. Yes,
Yeah.
Jolly, if you can send me over that episode, that would be
Yeah.
fantastic.
Will do. Okay, bye.
Okay. Bye,
Peace,
everybody.
y'all.
See you.
Bonus round. For July the 7th, we talk about Dragon Quest XI, Final Fantasy V, and we ask you nothing because this is not an official episode. Welcome to the first secret level. Yada yada yada. Wah wah wah. My name is Graham Markison, and you are listening to The Secret Level, a podcast for people who love video games while Cole and his pals are away on business. How's everyone doing? Now today is July the 4th. It's an American holiday. Earlier this week we had July the 1st, which is Canada Day. I didn't actually do anything for that day because the family celebrations were on the 2nd for reasons. There was a fishing trip, and while one family was away on a fishing trip, I was stuck house sitting for them over a course of a week. It was pretty eerie because they live out in the middle of the country, and I was alone in the house with their two dogs for a whole week. So I didn't have a lot of games available for playing, but I survived. It wasn't too bad. It's just a long, boring time. Yeah, nothing too crazy. But if we're all done with that, let's go on to the brief. The brief. So what is happening in the world of video games? Well, apparently, through a Dutch gaming magazine, it is confirmed that Dragon Quest XI is coming to the West. Now, there wasn't that much of a doubt that it was coming, but since Dragon Quest X never came over, and Square Enix tends to be really flaky on which games they localize, there was some doubt, there was some concern. But this is really good because there are a lot of classic Dragon Quest fans in this world, in this Western country, and I'm one of them. I am really excited because it looks like it's going to be something closer to Dragon Quest VIII, which was a very character-focused traditional JRPG. And if this game continues that, then I'm just going to be really excited because Dragon Quest VIII, probably my favorite Dragon Quest, which pretty much makes it one of my favorite games. I'm really excited. Now, if we're all done with that, I think it is time for the multiplayer. Multiplayer. And what is today's multiplayer? There isn't one because this is not an official episode and does not have access to the official The Level Facebook. So let's just move ahead then. The grind. And now it's time for the grind. What's everyone been playing? Me? I've been on vacation for the last week, so I didn't get to touch a lot of things, but I did get to play through the entirety of Duke Nukem, the first one, and let me tell you, that game holds up pretty decently. Great level design. I also got to play Final Fantasy Tactics again a little bit. Like, I didn't get out of the chapter. I didn't get out of chapter one, but, I got through a majority of it. I'm playing with a ROM hack, so it's a little different. I'm finding it's harder than usual, but still enjoyable. Final Fantasy Tactics, like, it's always going to be fun. It's always going to be a good game. What else have I been playing? Just a couple weeks ago, I finished Final Fantasy V, Four Job Fiesta. This is the community challenge when people play through the entirety of Final Fantasy V with only four select classes. They don't use every class. They don't mix and match every class. They only use four. They only use the skills of four different classes. You can mix and match between those four classes, but that's it. Now, this year, I had a pretty good team. I never really had a bad team. So not only did I beat the game, I also beat the super bosses in the in Final Fantasy V, and that might be the first time I beat them, because I can't be sure that I've ever beaten them before this. For those who don't know, besides the final boss, there is also the super boss Omega, and you really have to exploit and trick your way through that boss battle to beat it. There's also Shinryu, which is even trickier, but I beat them both. I got the Triple Crown. This is the first year I've gotten a Triple Crown, and honestly, because it's such a success, I'm not sure I'm going to be returning to the challenge again for quite some time, because I've kind of done everything I've wanted to do. I'm kind of done with it for now. We'll see what happens. The thing is, I haven't played Final Fantasy V regularly for a long time, because every year I've been, not every year, but for the last couple, 5 years, the only time I've played Final Fantasy V is to do the challenge, and that's a very different experience, arguably a lesser experience than just playing the game regularly. This is all just a lead-up for me to Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age. It comes out, in about over a week, and I am just so excited. I am more excited about this game than probably Persona 5. More on that later. I do want to talk about that a bit. But Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age, for those who don't know, in the original vanilla Final Fantasy XII, the regular version, you had this license grid that everyone used to map out and get the skills you want for each character. The thing is, each character use the same grid, the same big grid. They all use the same one. So in the end, they all became carbon copy Supermen. Then another version was released, only in Japan, called the Zodiac Job System. And what this did is it made you choose between 1 and 12 classes for each of your 6 characters. So they had a more specific build that you unlocked and moved through as you level your character up. So by the end, they're all different characters. I mean, assuming that they're different classes. What this new Zodiac Age version is going to do is that it's going to let you choose 2 classes for each character. So they are dual classing, and that's pretty exciting. At first, I was a little worried about how easy it would be, but apparently they rebalanced the game so it accommodates how more powerful your character is going to be. I'm so damn excited that I've been prepping. I've already gone through all the classes, I've already gone through all of the, licenses grids, and I've already made a decision on which character are going to be which 2 classes. I'm going to use all 12 classes, even though you don't have to. It's just something I want to do. And I've already decided which espers I'm going to give each character, because on the license grids, various little islands, quote-unquote, of skills are locked off with espers, and the only way to get them is if you use that esper on that character's license grid, on that character, which means ultimately that you won't be able to unlock every license on a grid, because some are just going to be off on those islands, and you only have limited espers to hand out. So I've already made a lot of decisions on which espers I'm going to give to whom. For example, on the monk grid, which is normally physical focused, you can use espers to unlock various powerful white magics, which is what I'm going to do. I also decided that the monk in my party is going to be Vaughn, since he has a very high strength and magic skill, a magic stat, so that's pretty good. There's a lot of little tricks you can do with the license grids, especially since they're a dual class, because they share skills between 2 classes. two license grids, so there's a lot of little tricks you can do. It's pretty cool, and I'm so excited, so damn excited that's finally coming. Now, is there anything else I should talk about? I'll hold off on ranting about Persona 5. Should we button it up? Let's button it up. Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! The credits. This has been Graham Markison on Twitter. I am at Graham Markison, no spaces, just my name. I am also on Twitch as Doublecakes, no spaces. I don't really Twitch that much right now because it's just had, I don't have the best internet and I need to have a really good connection to do it. So it's a rare thing. I really need to wait until like my roommates aren't home so I have enough power to just do it effectively. I really enjoyed being a streamer. It's a good time. I like to think I'm funny. I mean, even if I'm not, I'll get better eventually. And if I don't, I'll just rip off a bunch of jokes from Steven Wright or something. That'll work. And stick around for some titles. Do no 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 yada yada yada. Wop wop wop. Actually, you know what? Let's forget about titles. This isn't even a real episode. This is a secret level.